Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies. It's Sunday, September 11th, 2022, and today's show is chock full of great guests from coast to coast. Let's meet them, shall we? Two of them are here. I don't think I've experienced this as of yet on a show in this format. Like when I'm in a theater doing a show, oftentimes one of the guests, like the very last time I did a live show, John Hamm was having trouble finding parking. That sort of thing happens. But for a Zoom call show, it's odd for anybody to be late. So we'll see what happens, because everybody else, you know, we got schedules to keep and the show must go on, as we like to say in this business. So in the meantime, let's meet two of my guests today and hope the third arrives. And they are Jeff Tate and Greg Mottola. Hello, guys.
Hey, Doug.
Hello.
Let's meet you, the two of you, individually and alphabetically by first name. That's right. Allison Rosen convinced me I should alphabetize by first name, so that's what I'm doing now. And it's a close one between these two G first names. But I'm pretty sure I'm still pretty good at alphabetizing. Jeff Tate. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
You're back.
I'm back. It's been a while, Doug. How are you?
I'm good. I just got to ask you, right out of the gate, how excited are you for Confess Fletch?
I would say 10 out of 10. Like, I haven't been this excited for a movie since Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace.
Well, that
bless
is
you, Jeff.
Dang, that is, it's too late to probably put that on any of the adverts for the show, but holy cow, that is a real must-see for you. So I guess Thursday night, you're going to be queuing up.
Yeah, as soon as I can see it, I will. The moment I can see it.
Right. I know how that
I'm going to have a party.
I'm not going to have to remind you on this one, I don't think, though, because I know a lot of people who like to read, but I think you're the only one I know that has read all of the Fletch books.
Man, I'm so excited! I'm gonna put on my Magic Johnson jersey, and I'm gonna watch Fletch.
Well, you're not gonna. Well, okay. So that's the thing. Well, we'll get into it in a second, because also joining us today, wow, this is kind of a coincidence now that I look at it. it is, in fact, the director and a couple other hats on the latest Fletch movie called Confess Fletch. It's Greg Mottola. Hello, Greg.
Hey, Doug. This is a crazy coincidence.
Yeah, I just happened to realize that, you know, because I was dying to ask Jeff about Confess Fletch, because I've just been, just knowing that it was about to come out, I knew Jeff would be very excited. And then to put this, he's beside himself right now. You can't see him, but he really is. He really is happy to be here today. Has already competed on Douglas Movies against John Hamm, and I think bested him. Did you beat John Hamm?
Yeah, I believe so. At least maybe one time.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, yeah. You've gone you've gone head to head a few times, but. I think John, like, especially in the Christmas shows where we have like 12 people and we eliminate people as we go, I think he's always happy to get eliminated quickly, and then just either hang out or speed off in a cool car. So, Greg, Jeff, and I both probably—I mean, I'm assuming for Jeff, but I know that I've got some questions for you about the movie. Jeff has not seen it yet. I got to see it the other night, thanks to you. Thank you very much. Enjoyed it very much. And without having, I did read some of the books a long time ago, you know, probably spurred on by the Chevy Chase movie. But even then, I noticed that obviously there's some differences. It's kind of like how Jack Reacher is like a foot and a half shorter in the movie than he is in the books. And don't get Jeff started on Jack Reacher books, by the way, because he likes those as well. But Greg, how did you decide, like, what was the process for determining what would be the next of all the Fletch titles? Like, how many titles are there, and how did you choose Confess Fletch as the one for that?
Are there 10? 9 or 10? John was the one who came to me. Miramax approached him and said, would you ever be interested in doing this franchise, playing this character? Unbeknownst to them, when John saw the movie back in 85, he went and tracked down the books. He claims he stole them from a Walden Books. I don't know what the statute of limitations is on that. And he loved them. And he also saw that there was a difference between the tone of the books and some of the, you know, some of the DNA is baked into the movie, of course. But there were a lot of Chevy innovations in the film that were different from the books. And when they came to him, it had already been sort of a daydream in the back of his head. He would love to play this character. So then he came to me and he said he thought Confess Fletch would be the best choice. Now, I must admit that I hadn't read the books. I knew they existed. I'd always heard great things about them. And I thought, I'll get to them someday. Because I love detective novels and I like funny ones especially. And so I went off and read about 5 or 6 of them, and they are great. I love them very much. And I thought Confess Fletch made sense for a lot of reasons to be the next one, which it's the second book that Gregory MacDonald wrote. And strangely, he already had Fletch being retired from being an investigative reporter by book 2. I thought, well, John's older than the character is in the books. This kind of makes sense that he's coming out of retirement to solve a few more mysteries. And I also agreed with him that there was another way to go with the story, and that this isn't just a cynical, lazy Hollywood IP, we can't think of anything new reboot. We're actually adapting a novel that no one has seen made into anything before. So
it's like you didn't take story elements from several of the books. It's really, the story is all from that one book.
Yeah, the story is all from that one novel.
That's cool. And of course, leaves you open for, I would hope, the wish at this point, since this was a good experience, is to make more of these.
I would love to. I had a great time doing this. You know, the sort of deal we had to make was work fast, don't spend too much money, and we'll leave you alone. And that's what happened. And that was, by and large, a very good thing.
Yeah, and it's a, you know, it's a movie that obviously you had the difficulties of doing it with the COVID restrictions, but you know, it doesn't really translate to the screen. You know, everybody, the cast is terrific. Like, you know, everybody's sort of a straight man to Chevy in the original Fletch, and in this movie, you know, the other characters are sort of allowed to be funny in their own ways. You know, instead of just being confused by what Fletch is doing. You know, like everybody just had to act befuddled in that first movie, you know, and you know, be like, oh, harumph, you know, like that guy just tricked me. just also just, you know, in terms of the dialogue and the jokes, they just, there's so many more, you know, jokes here. It's like, you know, it's snappier, you know, but still, which is funny because Chevy Chase is, you know, that was kind of his thing with snappy comebacks. But these seem to come at even more rapid pace. Was this something where everybody adhered closely to the script, or did you do a lot of like screw around takes to just see what you could get?
We actually didn't do that many improv takes, although a lot of, you know, I did have a great cast and a lot of funny stuff happened in the moment. Like, you know, there's a line where Annie Mumolos plays this kind of batshit crazy next door neighbor, says that she inherited her apartment. She got her apartment in a divorce from her husband. And then she says, well, he wasn't really a divorce. He died on the toilet, but no one wants to hear that. That was Annie's line and really made me laugh. And so
she,
you know,
is so funny. She's so funny in that movie. Like, she's always been good in things, but it's just a next level character for her, because we've all met those people that are just an absolute disaster that just do not stop to think about anything they're doing. They just do it. And her scenes are so funny.
She is amazing. And she came with that energy. I was glad there was a fire marshal that day, because I was pretty sure she was going to burn down the apartment we were shooting in. She was completely in the scene, but she's a lovely, hilarious, wonderful human.
Yeah, she's great. And, lots of funny people in it. Roy Wood Jr. is really good in it. And,
you got John Slattery, a little Mad Men reunion.
Did you try to get any other Mad Men, involved? Is scheduling where it was an issue?
I thought one was enough. I mean, come on. No, I mean, it's an amazing cast on that show, but no, there's an amazing cast on that show, but Slattery made a lot of sense. And if we're lucky enough to make another, that's a character that would recur.
He's super fun. He's super fun in that role. He's like the Q character that you maybe seen in only one or two scenes, but you know, just reliable and, hilarious, and they do have that kind of built-in rapport from having done Mad Men. Jeff, do you have any questions? Having not seen the film yet, but full of enthusiasm, anything you want to know?
I don't. I actually want to know as little about it as possible to see it. Like, I'm so excited to see it.
Jeff, I'm just going to tell you who the killer is.
I thought it was a fun twist the way you had the Knives Out guy run in and solve the crime at the end.
Yeah,
the
southern guy. Yeah,
yeah. Benoit.
Benoit.
I forget how you say his name, but kind of a interesting little renaissance here of comedy mystery between, you know, Only Murders showing up on streaming, and then this film, and See How They Run, and
And After
Knives
Party.
Out too.
After Party was a big. Yeah. I think probably the reason that's a form people are enjoying right now is because it's the kind of story where the bad people get caught in the end and things get solved, because that never happens in the world anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, definitely... well, I'll watch this thing where the people do really bad things face some consequences, because I don't see that on the news ever.
Yeah. No, you get it nice. You get it wrapped up pretty tidy. Maybe worst case scenario, they'll pull a two-parter situation. You have to wait 1 week to resolve this, rape case on SVU or something. But yeah, it really is. And it's almost always satisfying, the conclusions. And when it's not, it's like, a call to arms of some kind, like we should be paying more attention to whatever issue they're pushing in that episode. How can people, what's the release plan for Confess Fletch?
It is, in this brave new world of very few films being shown in movie theaters, going to be a hybrid release where on Friday, 16th, it'll be in about 450 theaters with the least amount of advertising possible. And it'll also be on pay-per-view at home. And then a month or so from now, late October, it's going to be on Showtime. And, I think this kind of movie, which is a little more adult skewing than some other kinds of broader comedies, and not a huge budget thing, doesn't, it's hard to get that on a movie theater screen these days at all.
Yeah. And it's also No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's that sort of middle tier movie that Hollywood used to make a lot of, and some of those, we all love. And so I hope people give it a chance, because it's really hard to get screens and for them to spend a lot of money promoting something like that. But I would just say to the people who assume that means it stinks, if it really stunk, they just would have dumped it on on Lifetime Channel or something.
Oh no, if it really stung now, they just act like you never made it and just use it as a tax write-off.
That's right.
Yeah. It's crazy how they're just like, there isn't some money to be made out of this thing. You really can make more money by not showing this to anybody that wants to pay to see it. it doesn't make any sense.
That's insane. This will be on a double feature with Batgirl.
Yeah, that would be amazing if that could happen, because they could both feed off of each other, get people that wouldn't necessarily check out the other one to watch them both. But that being said, I think in all those, I think every step of the way, it'll be a treat for people. If you can't get out to the theaters where it's playing, and you're anxious to see it, like our friend Jeff, you could just pay-per-view it, and if you can hang in there for a month, or see it in the theater, then watch it again on Showtime. Because I was like, I think I already said this once, but the rapid fire, like how quickly the dialogue moves and how often Fletch says things that are fast, and the other characters don't even, they don't even know what he just said. They're all wrapped up in their own drama. It's super entertaining. No matter the format, but we do want to encourage people to see things in theaters, because that's what it's really all about.
Yeah, we hope that experience doesn't go away or only go to gigantic things.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that the these more spectacle movies are what's sort of saving it, but people just needed that, that kick to get out the door and start, going to theaters again.
Yeah, sure.
To be these big movies. But now the smaller ones, like Everything Everywhere All at Once, had a really nice run for what, could have been a movie that got, lost in the shuffle.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, our movie is basically an indie film. This is what indie films are taking over what Hollywood used to do. I mean, Miramax financed it. They're an independent company. They have some kind of relationship with Paramount, and I'm glad Paramount decided to put it in theaters for even this limited way, because it's some people get to see it on the screen.
Yeah. And the LA area, it's playing it like every Regal theater. So I don't know exactly how Regal spreads out across the country, but I feel like a lot of the screens it's on are at Regal Cinemas, if that helps anybody. Our third guest today, didn't make it for some reason. And, you know, I'm sure, I hope everything's fine. Probably, you know, at some sort of vigil or memorial. That'd be a decent excuse.
Yeah. For the queen.
Hey, for her too. I mean, it's a heavy day. It's a heavy day for sure.
Yes, it is.
So, of course, that's, you know, if he needed a mental health day and couldn't come play trivia against a couple of ringers, because I really did want to have an exciting competition today. So if he does show up, Producer Ryan will let us know, but it feels like it might not be happening for whatever reason. Could have also been a miscommunication about, you know, dates and times and stuff. But once again, Rory Albanese is not dead. He's just not here. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. But this hasn't happened in, I'm trying to think of a time when I had two guests facing off against each other in all the games. And I can't think of a time that happened. I've had Jeff compete against audience members at a show one time in Rosemont, Illinois. And that was super fun. We got to do that again sometime, because that really was a good time. But but before we give Rory a couple more minutes, because, you know, it's only been a half hour after when we were supposed to start. So, to give him just a couple more minutes, because I'm excited to talk about this. I always ask my guests to recommend a movie on every episode lately. And I used to just say recommend any movie. But now lately I've been thinking of asking a more specific, you know, narrowing it down for people. And in this case today, strangely, I was looking at the September 11 birthdays, and one of them is director Brian De Palma.
Oh,
yeah. Which that's a, you know, you just, it's just kind of like, seems like a cliche that a director of scary and horrifying movies would, his birthday is 9/11. But anyway, that being said, I want each of you to recommend, or, you know, tell me what your favorite Brian De Palma movie is. If you have one. I mean, do you have one?
Sure.
Jeff,
who wants to go first? Should I go first?
Sure.
Alphabetically, you should, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I'll go first. I'm gonna say what I assume you think I'm gonna say, and that's the first Mission Impossible.
You think this would have gotten easier with one less guest? Okay, so yeah, that's your answer. Mission Impossible. Interesting. Now you're a big Mission Impossible fan.
Yes.
You like the whole series.
I like the whole series, but that first one is very, it's very like true to what Mission Impossible the show was.
Right.
Like, I really like that. Like, I really like the first one a lot.
All right. So then, if I asked you what your favorite John Woo movie was, would you say Mission Impossible 2?
No, I would say Face Off.
If I said, what's your favorite J.J. Abrams movie, would you say Mission Impossible 3?
I would say Super 8.
If I said, what's your favorite Brad Bird movie, would you say Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol?
I might say that one.
If I said, what is your favorite guy who wrote Usual Suspects, what's his name?
Christopher McQuarrie.
What's your favorite Christopher McQuarrie movie? Would it be Mission Impossible Rogue Nation?
Nope, that one would be Jack Reacher.
It all comes back to Jack Reacher.
Oh my God, that was fun. All right, so... So Mission Impossible it is. What about you, Greg? What's your you had an answer right away. What's your favorite Brian Palmer?
I would say, I mean, is it really my favorite? I don't know, but I remember it seeing a long time ago and really loving Sisters, one of his early films, which was a super, super creepy movie with Margot Kidder. I'm looking at it. I'm cheating. I'm looking at IMDb because I can't remember who else was in it. Oh, Bernard Hughes. It's like a super creepy psychological horror film, kind of a step toward Carrie. Carrie might be my actual favorite, but you know, when you start to compare Carrie to The Untouchables, Blowout, Fan of Paradise, it's a pretty amazing run.
Yeah.
Through the '80s.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Dress to Kill.
Dress to Kill might have been the first one I saw as a kid in a theater. I think I saw that as a teenager when it came out, and that freaked me out.
Yeah, I mean, that movie is it's rough by the standards of the time. People were kind of shocked by it, and it's still kind of kind of unpleasant, but also I guess you got to give Michael Caine. I mean, I guess that's certainly become a thing over the course of horror movies, is like, a man and, confused about his own sexuality, lashing out and murdering people. And it's not been good. It hasn't been good PR is what I'm saying.
I think
some of these movies are just going to
be a little problematic.
Seeing them. Yeah.
It's a little problematic. But I feel like that was De Palma's Psycho. As influenced as he was by Hitchcock, I feel like that was really his.
Well, that's the thing, is everybody made such a big deal out of him stealing from Hitchcock, and him just being a ripoff of Hitchcock. And it's just like, yeah, but the way Hitchcock made movies was fun to watch. So it's like getting more Hitchcock.
I know. Who would have a problem with that?
You know, like, and crazier Hitchcock, because he was more violent and more, sexual.
Yeah.
And he definitely took it up several notches. And then when he did, like you said, The Untouchables is really good. And that you can't steal from Hitchcock in Untouchables, because Hitchcock didn't do gangster stories. And that movie's really, really good and really cool. He just had to steal from, Battleship Potemkin.
Battleship Potemkin, yeah. He's like, what Soviet silent movie should I steal from?
So happy birthday, Brian De Palma. I'll go with Carrie, because I'm gonna since Rory's not here, I'm gonna weigh in with one, and I'm gonna say, should I say Untouchables? Because Untouchables I can just watch like on a loop, because it's just the style of it, is every scene is interesting.
Oh, it's so fun.
Yeah. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go Untouchables.
Wow.
Yeah. If for no other reason, then be sure to watch for the scene where Sean Connery has a blue shirt on that's a button up, and the button's open on one of his lines, and it's closed on his next line, and it's open again. it's really amazing. Shirt that he's wearing. it's like the Rorschach mask of shirts. It just does what it wants and moves around all the time. We got to take a commercial break, but it'll be a quick one. We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
We are back with two gentlemen who have met today for the first time, but they hit it off because they have Fletch in common. Not to mention, you know, I don't want to sell you short, Greg. You've directed a lot of stuff that I've enjoyed over the years.
And oh yeah, I've seen Paul 15 times.
How do you know if it's 15 exactly?
I ballparked it.
Yeah, scratches it into a cell wall.
It's so fun. It's so much fun.
Thanks, man. I feel like that movie got kind of released and dumped, and it didn't. I wish more people had heard about it. Thanks to you, Jeff. You're picking up the slack.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. My pleasure.
There's so many great people in that movie that anybody that's if you're a Kristen Wiig or Bill Hader or Seth Rogen, you know, if you're a completist, Simon and Nick, of course, like you. You got to get around to it. You got to see it because it's super fun. I saw it at South by Southwest, I think.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. So anyway, this game we're going to play is a game we play regularly on the show. It's called ABCD's Nuts, and it's a spelling game and sort of. Jeff knows how this works. Basically, I'll tell you a letter, and then you just have to name any movie that begins with that letter. And in honor of you being here today, Greg, we're going to spell the word super bad. So that means Jeff will go first. He'll get the letter S. He says any movie begins with S, which, you know, it's surprisingly difficult sometimes to come up with off the top of your head. But if he says any movie begins with S, he stays in the game. Then it's your turn. Next letter in Superbad is U. So you'd say any movie begins with U. And there is a theme that will develop that might help you or make it harder. It works different ways for different brains. But the idea is that you can maybe figure out what title I've already written down by the fact that it applies to a certain theme. And if you match on any of these letters, if you match what I've written down, then you win the game. But also, winning doesn't matter. Just have fun.
I have a total tendency to freeze during these things, so...
you can just blame.
This will be an easy walk for you, Jeff.
Just playing Zoom. All right. Jeff, the first letter, of course, in Superbad is S, and you can't possibly know what the theme is at this point. It'd be a real wild guess. So just give me a movie that begins with S.
All right, I'm going to go back to the De Palma question and say Snake Eyes.
Oh, that's
nice.
Funny. Yeah, okay. I didn't pick Snake Eyes. I picked Super Babies, Baby Geniuses 2. I mean, that's a fantastic title right there, but maybe I don't know if that's why I picked it. Okay, so the next letter, Greg, is U, arguably one of the tougher letters in the alphabet because there's not a lot of movies that begin with the letter U, but you think of any?
Yeah, Uncle Buck.
Oh, that's a great one. That's a great one. I was just thinking, I didn't even get to words that sound like at the beginning. I was just really fixated on you. So I was just sitting here going, there's Yuli's Gold. There's U-Turn. Nice. That was all I had. That's all I had.
U-571.
Yeah. Oh, U-571. That's an old joke that that's gone back and forth between me and Nick Schwartz. And pretty much every time I see him, he says, "Do you want to see U571?" And I go, "U571." Okay. I wrote down Universal Soldier: The Return. So oh, you might be smelling kind of a theme with those two titles. I don't know. The next letter is P, and of course that would have gone to Rory to add to the kind of randomality of this game, but instead it's right back to you, Jeff. The letter P.
I'm going to say Prizzy's Honor.
Nice.
Very good. I didn't write that down. I wrote down a motion picture from 2002 called Pinocchio, starring Roberto Benigni as, was he Pinocchio or was he Geppetto or was he probably played both. But
he must have been Pinocchio.
Yeah, maybe I guess he was both. Pinocchio. Yeah. But anyway, this new Pinocchio.
I think Daniel Day-Lewis was Geppetto.
Oh, okay.
And no, he was.
It just gets lost in the character. You'll never know.
It would be so funny if Daniel Day-Lewis was such a great character actor that there were films he's in we didn't even know that was him.
he might have been in Super Babies.
Right? He might have been. I mean,
he played one of the babies.
That was Johnny Depp's thing for a while, is to act in movies where he had so much makeup on that he wanted people to be fooled that it wasn't him. but anyway, the next letter, Jeff, is E. Greg. E for Greg. It's your turn, Greg, in the letters.
I'm going full lazy here and saying E.T. Last night was a big Spielberg night if you were following Toronto Film Festival.
I love Spielberg, and you know, two or three of his movies I think are the greatest movies ever made. But people are going crazy over the trailer for his new one, The Fablemans.
Yeah.
And I'm sure this observation will be made repeatedly, but that it's about, you know, the movie's about a family where there's filmmakers calling them the Fablemans. Like, it's fictional. It's not like a real family. It was called the Fablemans and they became directors. So I was, that's what I already tweeted today, that I guess at least they didn't call it the Storytellermans. Okay. So, the letter is E. And, you said E.T. and sometimes I'll write down two titles just to give you an extra shot, but I didn't want to bring it up. I don't want to put any extra pressure on you. But I wrote down there was a caveman movie called E.G.A. E-E-G-A-H that apparently was quite a movie. I feel like checking it out now. In a movie I never want to see again as long as I live, called Exit to Eden. Right, the Dan Aykroyd, Rosie O'Donnell, dominatrix comedy.
Oh my God, I forgot that existed.
Yeah, the sex island comedy with Dan Aykroyd and Rosie O'Donnell.
I think I did a Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind treatment to unremember that movie. now you've undone that, Doug.
I apologize for that. You should get hypnosis and ask him, just all I want is just to forget Exit to Eden. And I would do that
for The Rock, just so I could see The Rock again.
Oh, that's a smart idea. Get your memory erased of a movie you enjoy.
Yeah.
And then get to experience it all over again.
That'd be so fun.
Yeah. Because now, I don't think The Exorcist or Jaws is particularly scary now, but boy, that first time of each was quite a ride.
Yeah.
Okay, R is the next letter, Jeff.
Okay, I'm going to say... This is so dumb. Why do I think of this one? It's called Return to Paradise. That movie where Vince Vaughn has to go to prison in Thailand or something.
No, he's trying to get his girlfriend gets locked up for drug possession, and it's Claire Danes.
Oh yeah,
she's in there with somebody else famous, and Vince Vaughn's trying to get her out.
Yeah. It's terrible. It's so terrible.
It's a cautionary tale, to be sure. It would be funnier if real shit like that wasn't happening all the time, you know, where people are detained for that kind of stuff. But interestingly enough, though, I did go with a drug reference. I picked Reefer Madness.
Oh.
Yeah. All right, so we've got Super Babies, Baby Geniuses 2, Universal Soldier the Return, Pinocchio, Iga, Exit Eden, Reefer Madness. Next letter is B. What do you think?
I'm going to go with Big Daddy.
Oh.
I love a movie with lawyer and courtroom stuff where they've obviously did zero research about what happens in a courtroom. Like, the whole end is just like, but I like the kid.
Yeah, it's like Kramer versus Kramer, but they made it up on the spot. Yeah, they just said, set up cameras and we're just gonna go.
They never even met a lawyer. A lawyer never walked by. Nobody.
I have to say, my favorite performance of the last few years was Sandler in Uncut Gems. Mm-hmm. I think he was so fucking amazing in that movie that he did kind of deserve every prize.
It's strangely
not that similar to Big Daddy. Very different tone. Very, very different tone. I think the ending is similar.
It's funnier than Big Daddy.
Have you seen
well, there's the bat.
What's the Sandler basketball movie called? Hustler?
Hustle, I haven't watched it yet, but Hustle?
Yeah, it's really good.
I really like it.
I heard it's great, yeah.
Yeah, he's really good now too. I he's very talented. I gotta tell you what my B was, and it's gonna hurt your feelings a little bit. Because for B, I went with Baby Geniuses, the original.
I'm not entirely seeing the through line of your choices, Doug. I'm maybe it's better if I don't.
The next letter is A, Jeff.
Abbott and Costello meet Frankenstein.
Oh, that's a good one.
So many people could they meet.
The theme is cumbersome titles. No, I wouldn't.
What's the most obscure creature or thing they met?
I think there was one where they met some sort of cowboy. Wasn't there one where they meet like Jesse James?
Yeah, I think,
there's one where it's not even a monster; it's just a cowboy.
they meet Eisenhower. Frankenstein.
They could have had a really good time with the people they met. They really should have explored more options instead of just universal monsters. The next title is. Abbott Costello is what you said. It would be funny if you just had got the wrong Abbott Costello movie. But I put Alone in the Dark, starring Christian Slater and Stephen Dorff.
Oh, wow.
Directed by Uwe Boll. That director that when people criticize his movies, he challenges them to a boxing match.
Right.
Really?
Yeah. He's interesting if you want to look into him.
I've read about that.
That's probably his biggest movie, Alone in the Dark, because it had real stars in it. Like, a lot of his movies are more like, you know, they didn't get real actors, you know, but this one's got Slater and Dorff, and as an actress in it too, I forget which one. The last letter is D. I've written down two titles to really bring this home for A Chance at the Win. What do you think for the letter D?
This is my turn?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to say a movie that very self-servingly I worked on, a George Romero film called Day of the Dead.
And you think it would be on this list? Because the theme is movies that are super bad.
Oh yeah, I guess that's starting to come together. Right. And under my nose.
Now it's crystallizing. And the two D's I wrote down were Disaster Movie and Death Wish 2.
I've not seen Death Wish 2.
But all the movies I mentioned are like frequent visitors on lists of the worst movies ever made. I don't necessarily agree with, like, I think a lot of them are pretty, like, they're watchable bad. What I don't like is a movie that's just you want to look away and it, like, I spit on your grave, that sort of thing. Those to me are the absolute worst movies. The ones that make you laugh because they're so bad. Well, that's not so bad. That's no, you're getting laughs. That's, you know, you're entertaining people, you know.
I was always a Mystery Science Theater 3000 fan. I love, you know, that was a tradition with high school friends to sit and put in the VHS some terrible, and the VCR some terrible, terrible movie we'd make fun of while we got high.
Well, nobody won that game, and oftentimes nobody does. So we're going to go into the next game with a clean slate. We'll let our first time guest, Greg Mottola, will get to go first in our second and final game that we'll play right after this break. We'll be right back.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We're back, and no one gets to go first in this next game because no one won the first game. Actually, Greg, you'll go first.
You didn't ask me what I did on Day of the Dead. I'm disappointed.
Oh yeah. I'm sorry I didn't follow up, but it was such an exciting conclusion to that game.
I know.
I got wrapped up in the drama. What did you do on Day of the Dead?
I was a Carnegie Mellon art student when they were making that film. And I took a film class with this guy, Tony Buba. His brother, Pasquale Buba, edited all of Romero's films. And my teacher, Tony, played the biker who gets his arm ripped off at the cardio heart machine in Dawn of the Dead. And if you remember that scene. And he got me a 2-week job as an unpaid production art department PA. I was making zombie vomit. And if you remember the movie, there's a nightmare where all these hands come flying through a wall, through a cinder block wall.
Yeah.
Does anyone remember the movie? Yeah, I did R&D with the art department on making that wall. So that was the first time I was ever on a movie set. And it was actually a super cool one to be on.
I think the hands through the wall, I think that's in the trailer for that movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can really picture it.
Classic in camera, you know, special effect.
I mean, those movies, Dawn of the Dead is my favorite zombie movie, period. Like, I love that movie. It really hits the spot with just, you know, over the top violence. And then also, you know, pretty good message about consumerism.
Yeah.
When that movie came out, Roger Ebert said, if you're seeing this movie in a packed theater, here's what you do. The scene where all the zombies are smashing the glass at the department store, just yell out, nobody wants to miss a sale at Penny's. And I got to tell you, it really does work. But I just love that Roger Ebert is giving people tips on how to get a laugh, you know, yelling something in a movie.
Yeah, how to jeer in a movie theater.
But you know, that was back when Mystery Science Theater didn't exist, so people just had to go rogue and, you know, yell something out.
Yeah. My neighbor, that way he was very proud. When we went to Empire Strikes Back, he yelled out, he's his dad, right before Darth Vader says, "I'm your father." And at Raiders of the Lost Ark, when Indy faces off with the guy with the scimitar, he yelled, "Just shoot him," before he shoots him. He's just going around ruining jokes and surprises. Such an idiot.
That's what I did when I saw the third Indiana Jones movie. I was like, that's his father.
Yeah.
So I think it's pretty evident immediately. In fact, you know, that's how they sold the film. His father. It wasn't a surprise. Okay. So we're going to play a game where we'll just have Greg go first. And it's called, it's a game really built for three players. So it's going to be interesting. So here's how it normally works. Normally, I would say a fun fact or, you know, a fact, and then you have to guess if it applies to one person or another person or neither. And I'll tell you who those people are in a second. But normally, if the first two people miss on that question, the third person gets the gimme point because, you know, there's three options and the third one would be available to them. So what we're going to do now, since there's only two players, is, you know, if the second person misses it, then the gimme point goes back to the first person. So you can get points that way, just for fun. The game today is called Russell Tussle. I'll give you a fact. You tell me if it applies to Kurt Russell, Kerry Russell, or neither. They're going to start easy and get what I hope to be very difficult. Greg, are you ready?
I'm ready. Kerry Russell of Felicity fame.
I mean, if you want to give that away to your opponent, then that's your business.
Kurt Russell from Sky High.
All right, stop guessing what the questions might be. All right. Quit it! You're ruining my game. All right, great. Here's the first one. Like I said, they start really easy. Kurt Russell, Kerry Russell, or neither. Starred in two films as Snake Plissken.
That would be Kurt Russell.
All right, Greg's on the board with 1 point. Jeff.
Yes.
Played the title character in Waitress. Kerry, Kurt, or neither?
Kerry Russell.
You are also on the board with 1 point.
Yes.
Greg. Are related to each other, Kurt, Kerry, or neither?
I'm going to say neither.
I think that's really the only option there.
Yeah. Kind of, it felt that way.
Well, one of them is related, but the other one isn't. Okay. Jeff. Is it back to you, Jeff? Yeah. Two-time nominee for Razzie Awards, Kurt or Kerry or neither?
Oh, boy. I'm going to say neither.
That, my friend, is incorrect.
Bow.
Bow, bow, bow. All right, so that leaves you with two options. What do you think? Is it two-time nominee for Razzie Awards? Is it Kurt or Kerry?
I'm going to say Kurt.
That is correct. Yeah, you did it. Figured that one out. Greg's got three. Jeff has one. Still anybody's game. I've got 70 more fun facts. all right. It's Jeff's turn again, right? Yeah, Jeff. Born in Springfield, Massachusetts. Carrie or neither?
Carrie.
You say Carrie?
I say Carrie.
That is incorrect.
I'm coming apart.
For the remaining two answers, Greg, the point will bounce back to Jeff if you don't get this. Is it Kurt or neither?
I'm going to say Kurt.
You're going Kurt. That is correct. Jeff, you're running out of chances. This train's running away, Jeff. It's back to you.
All right.
Greg has four. You have one.
Okay.
Kurt, Carrie, or neither. Middle name is Vogel. V-O-G-E-L, Vogel.
I'm going to say Kurt.
That is correct.
Yeah, yes.
You're doing it. But Greg can get up to 5 points right now if he gets this one right. Has been married twice. Kurt, Carrie, or neither?
I'm going to say Carrie.
That is incorrect.
Damn.
Jeff, is it Kurt or is it neither? Been married twice.
I'm going to say neither.
Dude, that is correct.
Yes.
Quite the trick question, because we know, of course, that Kurt's been with Goldie Hawn for a long time, but they never married. They're still just domestic partners. And but he was married to Susan Hubley for a while before Goldie. And then in the case of the other one. Yeah.
Is she married to Matthew Reeves?
She's been married to the guy that she co-starred. Yeah, Matthew Reeves. Yeah. She's that's her only husband ever. And they're still together. They've got two kids, I think. Okay. Did I give Jeff a point for that?
Yes.
So we've got it's 4-2 at this point. Or it's 4-3.
I think it's 4-3.
I've asked 7 questions. Oh, this is so exciting. But Greg gets to go first on this one. All right, Greg. Has brown eyes. Kurt, Carrie, or neither?
This is a bit embarrassing because my wife and I have been watching every episode of The Americans with my son for the last couple of weeks. I should have been observant of her eyes. I'm going to say neither.
That is correct. They both have blue eyes.
Wow.
Yeah. I didn't know that. I couldn't tell you people's eye colors unless it's like, you know, really obvious, you know, like Jenny brown eyes.
They do that zoom in on the eyeballs in Tombstone. So I knew Kurt Russell did.
Oh, okay. I should have mentioned, just because it's kind of interesting, that the two Razzies that Kurt got nominated for, he didn't win either one. He only got nominated. But he was up for Worst Couple with Kevin Costner in 2000 Miles to Graceland. And he was...
That movie was so bad.
Yeah, it didn't turn out good. And then he was also up for a Worst Actress in Tango and Cash. Because he has a scene where he puts on a wig and a dress, I guess. Okay. Greg has five. Greg has five. Jeff has three. It's no longer anybody's game, but we're going to continue anyway. Jeff, co-wrote one movie that they also appeared in. Kurt or Carrie or neither.
Oh, I know this one.
Co-wrote one of their own movies. What is it, Jeff?
It's Escape from LA. It's Kurt Russell.
That is correct.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, you almost got there, Jeff. You just one away. That was the last question. I had a tiebreaker ready to go, but Greg walked away with this thing. And congratulations, Greg.
Thank you.
I mean, you got to be proud of the fact that you still managed to win when, you know, one of the other competitors didn't even show up. That's how scared he was of Jeff. Is that that he did not even enter the arena. And, you know, of course, if anything bad has happened to Rory, this entire episode will be scrapped. Because that would just be awful.
Yeah, you can't edit that out.
Greg, you know, I'd offer you the opportunity to be on Doug Loves Movies next Saturday. We're doing a live audience show here in Los Angeles at Dynasty Typewriter. And but I know that you're on the East Coast. And so what I pledge to you to do, because next weekend is, you know, it's never too late that first weekend to be talking about Confess Fletch. So I'll get somebody from the cast. I'll try to get somebody from the cast. I know they're all busy people. I'll try to get somebody else in the movie.
That would be awesome.
To join us next Saturday. They'll be like pinch hitting for you since you won today. But if they lose, you lose. So, you know, hopefully I'll pick somebody.
Yeah.
That's good. And but anything else you'd like to promote, or do you want to just remind people? Why does it say I saw a print ad for the movie that said join the conversation? What's the conversation? What are they driving at there?
I have no fucking clue.
Did you see that the night of the premiere, the way it said on the street, join the conversation?
Yeah.
When the movie was over, I was like, what's the conversation? We all know the answer to the mystery. So there's not really like, it's not a whodunit question at that point.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about. I'll just say again, the movie opens next Friday, the 16th. When does this air? Does this air sometime in 2023?
It's coming out. Yeah, what we do is these are all finely aged. We put them in a cellar for a while. This one will be out tonight, like late tonight.
Oh, great. So yeah. So if you're moved to go see in a theater, I just say it's an accessible, funny, I'd like to think smart movie that captures the spirit of the novels and isn't, you know, a cynical reboot of something we've all seen 100 times, which we love, but it has already been done. So we did our own thing.
And it takes place now.
Yeah. And poke some fun at, you know, influencers and, you know.
It's a terrific update. Congratulations. And
thank you, Doug.
Everybody go see it. Jeff, what do you got to plug?
Well, I will be back in Cincinnati this weekend, so come to the movies on Friday and watch Fletch with me.
Oh my God, you should have a little, watch party.
Yeah, hit me up on Instagram and we'll plan it out if you want to come see it. I'm dead fucking serious.
Yeah, get a group together and go see it. That's fun. Yeah.
Jeff, I'm gonna write you on social media, so because I want to hear what you think.
Oh yeah! Oh my God!
Unless you fucking hate it, then just we can skip all that.
Man, keep there's not a chance gonna hate it.
Yeah, if you think it's a big steamy pile, just shut up.
No, I'm so excited. I honestly can't wait. I've been so excited for this for a couple years now.
I hope you like it.
I know Jeff pretty well, and it's what he likes.
Yeah, I can't wait.
He wishes there were smart Alex in every conversation in real life.
Yeah. Right? I don't want to have to do it. I just want to see it.
That's a great slogan. I would like to, for my plugs, I'd like to say, listen to Wide World of Dougs. If you haven't yet, I'd love to have both of my guests today oh, you know, Rory's not here anymore, so I would not love to have him on. But Greg, I'd love to have you on sometime. And follow Doug Loves Movies on Twitter, and DougLovesMovies.com is where all my dates and deeds and stuff are. I always end each episode. Thank you, Greg Mottola and Jeff Tate. I always end each episode with a closing line from a movie, which is oftentimes not that spectacular because a lot of movies just sort of end on whatever. But today I just wrote down to just ask you, Greg, do you remember? Because also some filmmakers don't, you know, sit around memorizing how their movies end. But do you know the last line of Superbad?
It's probably something Michael Cera mumbles. I can't remember what that something might be. I think it's like Jonah and Michael saying goodbye to each other awkwardly. I feel like those are the last lines, and they're just fumfering.
All right,
some classic fumfering.
Okay, so I'll just I'll just come up with something that I think sounds right. And thanks again for being here. And as always, goodbye.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in